This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm John Ross, KD8IDJ, and this is the ARRL Audio News for Friday, January 10th, 2025. The ARRL Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology is going mobile in 2025. In addition to the cohorts hosted at ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut, there will be several sessions around the United States this year. The first, hosted by ARRL Model School Staten Island Technical High School in New York City, will be held January 21st through the 24th. The format is being refined this year from 5 days till four. That change, along with taking the show on the road, is expected to make it easier for educators to attend, according to ARRL Education and Learning Manager Steve Goodgame, K5ATA. Especially for educators, juggling a busy family life, a four-day work program near them might be an easier option than a five-day trip to New England. Plans are also being finalized for a session in Kilgore, Texas in July, and another in the southeastern U.S. The programming and support continue to evolve. We really want to support these TI graduates after they leave, so we've rolled out a Discord server so they can stay in touch with their peers who are also implementing the material they learned here, said Goodgame. Providing community support and engagement has proven key to the ongoing success from the program. Staten Island Tech High School's program is led by Everett Enriquez, KD2ZZT, a two-time ARRLTI attendee. Enriquez has helped many of his students not only get licensed, but also be generally engaged in amateur radio. Enriquez will help ARR education specialist Wayne Green, KB4DSF, teach the program. By developing the network of educators who have benefited from the program and by offering the regional opportunities, Goodgame hopes to receive more applications to attend. TI is free for educators thanks to funding from donors to the ARRL Education and Technology Fund. There is a $100 application fee if the educator is accepted. Goodgame sees a long-term benefit to wrapping genuine fun into this radio-centric curriculum. Inspiration drives innovation, so if we don't inspire young people to innovate and expose them to RF, they are not going to innovate in those fields, he said. Somebody will, it's just not going to be our kids. To learn more about the ARRL Teachers Institute on Wireless Technology and to apply to attend, head to www.arrl.org/TI. ARRL has launched the DreamStation Sweepstakes, offering members the chance to win an ICOM DreamStation, including a limited-edition IC7760 HF 50 MHz transceiver, an IC-PW2 amplifier and microphone, generously donated by ICOM America. The ARRL Sweepstakes began January 3rd and runs until December 31st, 2025. It is the centerpiece of a year-long campaign to encourage new membership and a fun way for current members to extend their support for ARRL. The lucky winner will receive one grand prize that includes a DreamStation comprised of the latest amateur radio equipment from ICOM. The winner will also receive a limited edition Seiko watch celebrating ICOM's 60th anniversary. Participation in the sweepstakes is open to ARRL full-time members in the U.S., and members will automatically earn sweepstakes entries when they join or renew their membership. You can earn one entry there, set up auto-renewal, earn two entries, and donate to the ARRL Diamond Club an entry for every $50 donated. Members can also earn up to 6 entries during the year-long campaign. For more information about the ARRL sweepstakes and official rules, visit the ARRL website at www.arrl.org/dreamstation. Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, has assessed a record $34,000 forfeiture against an amateur radio licensee for willfully and repeatedly operating a radio station without authorization and interfering with the radio communications of the United States Forest Service while the U.S. Forest Service and the Idaho Department of Lands were attempting to direct the operations of fire suppression aircraft working on a 1,000-acre wildfire on national forest land outside of Elk River, Idaho. As ARRL News first reported in 2022, the FCC proposed to fine against Jason Frawley of Lewiston, Idaho, for allegedly interfering with radio operations of the U.S. Forest Service during firefighting activities for the Johnson Creek Fire near Elk River in July of 2021. The FCC stated that the notice of apparent liability that Frawley holds in an extra-class amateur radio service license, WA7CQ, and it is the owner-operator of Leader Communications, LLC, licensee of 8 microwave licenses and 1 business license. In response, Frawley acknowledged that he did operate on a frequency reserved for government use and for which he lacked authorization, but argues that he did not cause interference to the government's fire suppression activities that were being coordinated on the channel and acted with good faith and non-malicious intent to help. Frawley requested a reduction or cancellation of the proposed forfeiture based on the number and duration of the unauthorized transmissions, his history of compliance and corrective measures, and his inability to pay the proposed forfeiture. In the forfeiture order released January 3, 2025, the FCC rejected Frawley's request and assessed the full proposed forfeiture of $34,000. You can read more about this story, including what Frawley said in his own defense, in previous coverage from ARRL News. Hurricane Watch Net manager Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, is remembering longtime volunteer Terry Redding, W6LMJ, who is now a silent key. Grave writes, "It is with a heavy heart that I announce the passing of Terrence Terry Redding Sr., Ph.D., W6LMJ, silent key. He passed away January 4th, 2025. His daughter said he passed holding the hand of his bride as they listened to their favorite song. Terry was one of the longest-serving active members of HWN, 40 years. He also served as a board member of the Hurricane Watch Net, Incorporated, for 9 years. Terry joined the Hurricane Watch Net in 1984 while stationed in Panama using the call sign HP1XTR. His first storm to practice in was Hurricane Diana, which made landfall just north of the North Carolina-South Carolina border. In 1987, he returned to the U.S., living in Lawton, Oklahoma, and held the call sign of WB5LMJ. In 1995, he relocated to West Palm Beach, Florida, and was active using the call sign W6LMJ there. While living in West Palm Beach, Terry and his family unfortunately experienced numerous tropical storms and hurricanes. However, during those hurricanes, he found himself in the position of being a reporting station. In late 2016, I had the honor of making Terry an honorary member of the Hurricane Watch Net for 32 years, Grave writes, of dedicated service. But this honor did not slow Terry down. He would find a way to make himself available to assist in whatever capacity was needed every year, as he had always done. Terry's on-air help and, most importantly, his friendship will be greatly missed. Redding was an ARRL Life member, teacher, instructor, and volunteer examiner. And you can read more of Graves' tribute to Terry Redding on ARRL News. Some changes in the ARRL Kentucky section to report this week. Alan Morgan, KY10, is the new section manager of the ARRL Kentucky section. He was appointed to that position effective January 1st, 2025, following the resignation of Charlie O'Neill, KE4AIE. Morgan had already been elected to the position for the term beginning April 1st, 2025, so he will continue in that role for the next term. Morgan is an ARRL Life member and previously served as the section manager from April 2015 to April 2017. First licensed in 1978, he was active in emergency communications and also enjoys making long-distance contacts on 10 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. The ARRL Foundation has extended the application deadline for its scholarship program to Monday, January 13th, 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Information, including the link to apply, can be found on our website at www.arrl.org/scholarship-program. All applicants must be active, licensed amateur radio operators. More than 100 scholarships, ranging from $500 to $25,000, will be awarded to deserving students. Go to ARRL.org to read a previous ARRL news story about those scholarships. The times for the 2025 Winter Field Day WFD have been updated. This year's WFD is scheduled to run from 1600 hours UTC, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday, January 25th, through 2159 UTC, 4:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Sunday, January 26th. Stations may begin setting up as of 1600 UTC, that's 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, on Friday, January 24th. However, cumulative setup time shall not exceed 12 hours. You can review all of the changes at rules-wfda. Also remember to mark your calendar for the 2025 ARRL Field Day on June 28th, 29th. For additional information, visit fieldday at ARRL.org. The 129th Boston Marathon will take place Monday, April 21st, 2025, and registration is now open for volunteer amateur radio operators. Volunteers are needed to support operations throughout the 26.2-mile course, along with amateur support in the start and finish areas and along the transportation bus network. To register as an amateur radio operator, you must first have or create an account for the Boston Athletic Association, BAA Athletes Village. Volunteer registration closes February 7th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For additional information, contact via email Marty Soloway, NN1C, at BAA Communications Committee. Bruce Page, KK5DO, is here now with this week's AMSAT report. Bruce?
Thanks, John. AMSAT has been working on the GOLF project. GOLF stands for Greater Orbit, Larger Footprint. Although FCC rules have changed and we must jump through a few more hoops when launching a satellite to higher orbits, we look to overcome the obstacles. One is the mitigation of space debris after the end of your mission. In other words, we must bring the satellite back into the Earth's atmosphere so it can burn up. No more leaving things in space and hoping that nothing will happen to other orbiting objects. How will we do that? Possibly momentum wheels to change the attitude of the satellite to create more drag, or use an attitude determination and control subsystem, ADX for short. Then have some type of propulsion system to push the satellite to a lower orbit, allowing it to deteriorate into the Earth's atmosphere. There are many types of propulsion systems. All this and more going on behind the scenes to design, build, and ultimately launch a new generation of satellites. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO. Back to you, John.
And thanks, Bruce, for that report. Just ahead in radio sport this week, January 11th, it's the YBDX contest, that's phone. January 11th and 12th, the UBA PSK63 prefix contest, that's digital. Also on January 11th through the 12th, the SKCC weekend sprintathon, that's CW. And January 11th through the 12th, the North American QSO party, that is CW as well. On January 12th, the NRAU Baltic contest, single sideband and phone. On January 12th, it's the DARC 10-meter contest, CW and phone. And also on January 12th, the NRAU Baltic contest, that is CW. Upcoming section state and division conventions, January 10th through the 11th, 2025, the Southwest Florida Regional Hamfest, hosting the ARRL Southern Florida Section Convention, that's in Fort Myers, Florida. January 17th through the 18th, the Cowtown Hamfest 25, hosting the ARRL North Texas Section Convention in Forest Hills, Texas. January 31st through February 1st is the Jackson MS Capital City Hamfest 2025, hosting the ARRL Mississippi Section Convention in Jackson, Mississippi. And on February 7th through the 9th, the Orlando Hamcation, hosting the ARRL Southeastern Division Convention in Orlando, Florida. And finally this week, thanks to the N6LKA repeater in Calamasa, California, for airing the ARRL audio news. 7-3.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.